on and welcome to JFG tonight. I've been working. I think we should get a slightly better sound, a little better video tonight. We're still not at the equilibrium I'm looking for the video quality. I don't know. I was another color in when I had my old video, my old computer. I don't know what changed, but something in the saturation. I'm looking at my skin. Nah, I was whiter. I was whiter than this. We still don't have it perfectly, but today I worked on the audio. I hope that you guys, and if you guys can give me feedback. Yeah, slightly red maybe. It's bizarre. I don't know what's happening. The blacks are deep. Yeah. I don't know what was. I think I'm going to have to go watch old shows and see what it was, because there's something has changed. But let me know about the audio, because people were writing to me today in private and on Subscribestar, and I've had a couple of users say there is distortion. Of course, yesterday was not perfect. I knew it when I was going live. Nicholas Petrus says, a lot less audio distortion than recently, but I think it could be a little clearer in the future. Clearer. So I sound not clear. Well, okay. Clearer in the sense too much, there's too much bass, it's too loose, or perhaps just a little more overdrive. Clearer. What does clearer mean? Hello? I don't know. It seems that the sound is relatively fine to me. Too much top. Too much top. Well, what about this? There's a little less top now. Audio is clicking high like dropping. Is it really? Hello? I don't know. I don't hear any clipping. In any case, I have worked on making it softer. I think there used to be more bass, more compression. Hello? Hello? Yeah. Well, that's a little too bassy. Hello? Well, test. Yeah, it's... I have to work a little more, but I don't think we are far. I think we're getting closer and closer. I've reduced the distortion from the preamp. I was very high gain, but... That gives a kind of Alex Jones yelling in the mic style, which I like. I don't think it's something to be fleeing, but some people who have cheaper speakers, and someone told me he tried on his cheaper speakers and it was too distorted, but then he tried on his higher quality speakers and he didn't hear the distortion. So sometimes there are things that I can't really here on my high quality phones, but that earphones, but that will show up in laptop speakers or cheap speakers, and I'd like to hear about it, because ultimately I need to deliver an audio track that is good enough for everyone. Qualia Computing, the universe plot, part one, consciousness versus per replicator. What kind of shit are you guys sending me tonight? Holy shit. Qualia Computing, revealing the computational properties of consciousness. Oh my god. Oh my fucking god. You want me to read this? In this article, we provide a novel framework for ethics which focuses on the perennial battle between well-being-oriented consciousness-centric values and valueless patterns who happen to be great at making copies of themselves, aka consciousness versus per-replicators. This framework extends and generalizes modern accounts of ethics an intuitive wisdom, making intelligible numerous paradigms that previously lived in entirely different worlds, e.g. incongruous aesthetics and cultures. We place this worldview within a novel scale of ethical development with the following levels: A. The battle between good and evil. B. The balance between good and evil. C. Gradients of wisdom. And finally, the view that we advocate: D. Consciousness versus pure replicators. More so, we analyze each of these worldviews in light of our philosophical background assumptions and posit that A, B, and C are, at least in spirit, approximations to D, except that they are less lucid, more confused, and liable to exploitation by pure replicators. Finally, we provide a mathematical formalization of the problem at hand and discuss the ways in which different theories of consciousness may affect our calculations. We conclude with a few ideas for how to avoid particularly negative scenarios. Well, whenever you're stuck with a text like this, it's like, I could read it if you want later, not live. I will not read the text that long live. But yeah, I mean, good and evil, consciousness, very hard to define terms, and terms that ultimately can only be defined by axiomatic presuppositions, really. For something to be good or evil, you need to have an agent that decides that this is good, decides that this is bad. The whole idea of a fight between consciousness and pure replicators, I would have to read in more depth, but my guess is that there's a problem there, because consciousness is created by replicators. Consciousness serves replicators. He seems to be presenting pure replicators as a parasitic force that can undermine the good, that can undermine the consciousness. That will be a problem, because consciousness exists only to the extent that it serves replication. If it didn't serve replication, it would absolutely disappear. And there is no path for society to do anything else than serve replicators. That is all you're ever going to do as a life form. Either you don't live or you live. And if you live, you are subject to the theory of natural selection. Some random bloke says, did you see Scotland is about to get an anti-white Pakistani supremacist as prime minister? Yeah, I've heard and seen the guy. This is part and parcel of the current state of Western demographics, not particularly surprising, and it's going to keep going on for a long time. I mean, the left has been extremely good at taking over institutions and imposing their, oh my God, we have a black this, we have a Pakistani this, we have an Indian this, oh, we have a Muslim this, and they it won't stop. They will keep being, oh my God, this is so new, we're going to end up with a society dominated by other people than white people, which is why my philosophy is withdrawal. Because we're not going to change the world. We're not going to change this state of affair. At best, once these minorities have fully taken over through power play and really just appropriated the control over Western civilization, then you might have a little place for white people in the club as a kind of minority, and it's going to be like an exotic thing, like, oh, why don't we get a white man, a white heterosexual man on our board? That would be nice. And you'd have the 50% woman on the board, of course, would be lifting their eyes to the sky. Not a white heterosexual man once again. I have so much difficulty with them. Yeah, that is where we're headed. Orion says, Jeff, will a higher average age at first birth eventually select for more twins? I wouldn't know any data about this. Off the top of my head, I don't remember seeing any such data. You're talking about if you have your first baby later in life, will you have more twins? Look, there's a possibility here, but I don't know about it. But maybe if you were to see statistics saying this, it could be a side effect of in vitro fertilization. Because if you tend to have children later in life, you might tend to need IVF more. And if you tend to need IVF more, you tend to have more twins. But that's not because of any natural aspect of your uterus. It is simply that through IVF, we tend to inject two fertilized eggs to increase the chances of a successful pregnancy. But as a consequence, it also increases the chances of having twins. So, but other than this, I'm not aware of any data about this subject. Tunisian president, someone sent this on the chat. Tunisian president says migration to Tunisia aimed at changing demography. Tunisia's president Kais Saied denounced undocumented sub-Saharan African immigration to his country on Tuesday, saying in comments criticized by rights groups that it was aimed at changing Tunisia's demographic makeup. Speaking in a meeting with the National Security Council in comments, the president later published online, Saied said the influx of irregular migrants to Tunisia must quickly be ended. The undeclared goal of the successive waves of illegal immigration is to consider Tunisia a purely African country that has no affiliation to the Arab and Islamic nations. Well, not surprising. Basically, all civilizations on Earth except white civilization are able to reach these conclusions and talk about it. So, I mean, things go as planned, things go as they used to go. You will have entire segments of the world, the Russian world, the Asian world, the North African world, the Arab world. They will be successful at keeping under control their demographics. And the African world, the sub-Saharan African world also, but that's for other reasons. It's that no one wants to go there. But you will have all civilizations in the world, except white civilization, will be able to maintain a sort of demographic block of stability. And there you go. This guy is saying stuff. Okay, he's going to get a couple of critics against him. But the reality is we don't even have the beginning of a politician saying this kind of stuff in Western civilization. It is rare in Europe. You're going to hear that in America, but the political voice for this will, someone like Trump will merely say, we want legal immigration. Really, the subject of demographic stability and a home for white people does not exist in our politics. It exists everywhere else, either implicitly or explicitly. That's just how it is. Armless G sends a super chat. He says, thoughts on Malcolm Collins, pronatalist and IVF with embryo selection IDs. Have you watched the streams he did with Vincent James and the IDs Sleep Furiously podcast? I don't know if you must have sent me something about him, because I think I've received something, a text, but I don't know that I've seen the streams that you talk about. Maybe I'll watch them. Pronatalism and IVF with embryo selection. I don't think that the path to embryo selection, although it's a medical practice that can be that can serve a role here and there, I think generally we shouldn't be too enthusiastic about it, because that is ultimately subservient. It is replacing the natural selection pressure with what people think is good. So natural selection operates well when it gets tested on, is it good? When you start playing with, is it what I want? Is it what the parent wants? Is it what the female wants? Is it what the mother wants? Those are problematic ways of managing the direction of a species. They are bad because there are certain things that the human mind has been obfuscating in terms of understanding. The human mind refuses to understand a couple of things. And I specialize as a public speaker. I specialize in talking about those truths. But most of people simply cannot digest the truth. This is why even Richard Dawkins, in face with his own scientific theory of the selfish gene, he was disgusted at it. He was like, this is how the world works, but I wouldn't want a society that works like that. The problem is, if you're not as cutthroat as the selfish gene, you are punishing your children. You are punishing your society. And most people cannot be as cutthroat as understanding the selfish gene, and on top of understanding it, wanting it to be that way, and endorsing the fact that society should follow that path. So what are you going to have? Well, any sort of human decision-making will be domesticating ourselves. If you involve the human decision-making in the process of selecting embryo, if there's ever any choice that is given to a mother, she will choose for the most tame, the most domesticated, the most, you know, features that are purely aesthetic in nature, like blonde hair or blue eyes or whatever. But then if you go into the cognitive domain, we're going to domesticate ourselves. Or if we go into the medical domain, like just fixing diseases, even there, you're going to have a form of domestication in that by fighting those diseases, you will remove the natural selection pressure against them. And so you're going to have more of anything you're trying to select away. That's a case I've done for the case of abortion of Down syndrome fetuses. If you abort Down syndrome people, the parents end up being freely available to continue making more babies, so they end up reproducing more. So you've just created a positive selection pressure on parents that otherwise would have been encumbered by an handicapped baby. Now they are not encumbered, they can go on to make another baby, and what that means is, you in the next generation, you will have more mothers that tend to give birth to Down syndrome fetuses. So sometimes you fight against something, it creates more of it. If we start fighting against a list of genetic disorders, 100 different genetic disorders, suddenly nature doesn't push against the people who tend to create those genetic disorders. And you might have some of these disorders, instead of disappearing from the population, appearing in higher frequency, because suddenly nature doesn't punish you anymore for having those disorders. It all depends on the way with which we do it, and the frequency and the intensity of it. But there are things ahead that are very dark as a result of IVF obsession and just not accepting that we cannot help everyone having babies. And helping people with IVF that can afford it, that is viable long term, but helping people who can't afford it is an evolutionary, very stupid decision. Go Away says, Jeff, you should watch the $1 million extreme sketch called Hyper Gen X. It's about a couple going to a fertility clinic. All right, I haven't watched this one. Rack Reacher had sent a super chat. He says, what will be the effect of electric vehicle mandates on rural communities? Can electric vehicles operate in harsh environments? No, they can't. Apparently, they are very bad in cold weather. So that would be very bad for me. Look, these mandates are terrible, and they're going to impose a threshold. They're going to make poor living much more difficult and voluntary simplicity much more difficult. So now if you want to be any place where you can have the freedom of traveling by car, if you want to live far from civilization, that option will be more costly simply because you cannot do it if you don't buy an electric car. It's absolutely horrible. If they keep going with this plan of imposing electric cars on everyone, we are headed toward a very difficult future, one in which people will be incentivized by force to engage into the processes of civilization. They won't be able to walk away from it simply because they won't have liberty of movement if they decide to go the other way. So, and yes, for rural communities, it's going to be very hard for farmers who need to transport massive stuff, who need their pickup truck. All of this will be extremely punished by any such mandates. Dead Star says, there is a show I like on YouTube with hundreds of episodes. Recently, a fan created a website in which you can search for any word or string of words and find the timestamp for every instance. In the future, it would be incredible if we had a similar tool for JFG Tonight. That would be wonderful. I really like the idea. That being said, you need to be on YouTube for this because the transcript writing is made by YouTube. So I'm sure that this guy is relying on the transcripts of YouTube. Now, the big problem is I do not have a transcript here in Odyssey. I think they don't have this kind of AI. An AI that detects words and writes each of them with their timestamp. Armless says, here are the streams Malcolm Collins did with Vincent James. Interview with billionaire who's trying to say, yes, it may be you who has sent me some articles about him recently, or maybe someone else did. Interview with billionaire who's trying to save Western birth rates by having tons of superior kids. Billionaire eugenicist talks about crashing birth and testosterone rates and how to solve it. Okay, I'll give it a listen. I'm not sure he has the solution. I think I hope that he understands that in evolution, when you try to fight back against something, it comes back to bite you. You could try doing something like keeping testosterone levels up, but you would have created all sorts of other trade-offs. If you do it artificially, most of the time you're not intelligent enough to understand what you're doing. But I mean, I don't know exactly what's his strategy. It's probably not CRISPR. So is he at the selection level? Yeah, you know, sexual selection could get you there. Micronova sends $14.87. Thank you so much. He says, Jeff, do you know of any good outfits that are doing online teaching, like an online private school? VR classroom options would be nice, but good quality education is sufficient for now. I haven't looked into this at all. And it depends on what you're talking about. Are you talking about schools for children? Or are you talking about university level? There is the University of the People, where I used to teach in its first few years. I used to teach biology there, University of the People. But that's for adults. Are you? So he's talking about schools for children. I have no clue of any school online for children. I would basically have to Google it. Online schools for children. I'm sure there is a lot of options out there. Best online homeschool programs for 2023 at verywellfamily.com, Connections Academy, online public school for K-12 students, online elementary schools at onlineschools.org. I've never looked into these things, my friend, so I'm very sorry. I will not be able to guide you on this. I've not looked into these things because I don't need those. I will go full homeschool with... I may inspire myself from a program, I'm going full homeschooling in general. Mama JF says, if you want to learn programming, Coursera. Yeah, Coursera, I heard about this before. Never tried it. Is Mama JF telling us that... Mama JF, have you been studying computer programming in secret? Are you becoming a programmer without letting me know? Yeah, so I would just Google it and see what people say, but I don't think it's necessary. VirtualElementarySchool.com. Virtual Elementary School gives you the tools to provide your learner with an individualized, high-quality elementary education. Mama JF says it's courses from good universities online for free. Mikronova says, thank you, it's okay, this has been on my mind. I am a certified and licensed post-secondary educator. I want to supplement my teaching with other specialists. Ah, okay. Well, let me know if you find anything useful. The 15 best online services for kids in 2023. Send your children to these websites to let them learn, study, indulge their curiosity. Brainscape. Cool Math. Cool Math for Kids. Dagon News. Fun Brain. Khan Academy. Monterey Bay Aquarium Learning. National Geographic Kid. Yeah, this seems more like learning opportunities, not straightforward, course curriculum. Personally, I would check homeschool resources. And in homeschool resources, I've often seen people drop videos where they've decided to make a very specific video about this aspect of mathematics or biology. And that gives you a good resource to start from. He was sending another super chat and he says, any online private schools you recommend I and others would be very thankful for. Again, I've not looked into online schools at all, so I'm going to have to unfortunately tell you. All I believe in is homeschooling. I believe that the online stuff may be better, because you can supervise. It's probably not going to get as bad as the real life, brick and mortar school stuff. But I think it's probably going to be bad in many ways compared to homeschooling. As a post-secondary educator, I don't think I think you know so much. You'll be able to provide a great diversity of things to the child and complement with YouTube videos. That would be my strategy. Cosmic Nut says, some live teachers suck. Absolutely. You never get to know in these public schools. You never get to know because there are certain schools in which you can't fire a teacher for all of his students failing. It's really not his fault. You know, you go into a very low level school in a poor neighborhood, the students are going to fail. And so what are you going to do? Well, you can't fire the teacher. The students would have failed in front of any teacher. But because of this, you end up having a lack of true measure of success of teachers. And the true measure should be parental interest. There should be, you know, rumors spreading within a neighborhood where people say, that's a good teacher, that's not a good teacher. And that's a good school, that's not a good school. But as long as the public school system is basically attributing your child to a given school, and you have no choice or power over it, this competitive environment cannot develop. And we find ourselves with people who will be eternally teachers, no matter whether they perform good or bad. Micronova says, that's the plan. I have some children on the way, so I'm planning their future. I want to keep my kids from public school. Well, if the children are on the way, that gives me perhaps a couple of years to do my research. So I will certainly let you know in the future if it's a subject I come to be acquainted of. But it's good to know that you're preparing in advance. But let me tell you, thinking about school already, if the child isn't born, is a little bit in advance. Knowing that you're going to homeschool is it's plenty. But you're going to have a lot of years in front of you where it's not about schooling. It's about playing. It's about developing the motor capacities. It's about developing presence, emotional presence, developing language, the basics of it. So you don't really have to think school and curriculum, I would say, before a couple of years in. At 2-3 years old, you know, they're going to start learning the alphabet and stuff like this, recognizing the letters, saying the letters, singing the alphabet, recognizing the meaning of words. All of this is very nice to do, but you don't really need a curriculum for this. You just go by what you know, and they absorb it. And so enjoy the next 3 years. You don't have to have anything formal prepared. The next 3 years is all joy and just education on basic stuff. The SEC, I'm going to adjust my window here. Ooh. Oh, I had a change of sound here in my ear. The SEC charged, am I being attacked by these microwave weapons, the Havana syndrome? I felt like I received a zap in my ear. But no, I seem to be okay. SEC charges Mormon Church for concealing $32 billion portfolio. The Securities and Exchange Commission has charged an investment arm of the Mormon Church for disclosure failures and misstated filings. Ensign Peak, a nonprofit entity operated by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, agreed to pay a $4 million penalty for failing to file forms that would have disclosed the church's equity investments, and instead filing forms for shell companies that concealed the church's portfolio, as well as misstated Ensign Peak's control over investment decision, according to the Wall Street Journal. The church, which requires its members give 10% of their income in the form of tithing, itself agreed to pay a $1 million penalty. The SEC's order finds that from 1997 through 2019, Ensign Peak failed to file Forms 13F, the forms on which investment managers are required to disclose the value of certain securities they manage. According to the order, the church was concerned that disclosure of its portfolio, which by 2018 grew to approximately $32 billion, would lead to negative consequences. To obscure the amount of the church's portfolio, and with the church's knowledge and approval, Ensign Peak created 13 shell LLCs, ostensibly with locations throughout the US, and filed the forms in the names of these LLCs rather than in Ensign Peak's name. So I guess that that's the only way a nonprofit can accumulate large amounts of money without revealing it to its base. I guess they were worried that if everyone knows that we have that much money, how are they going to want to keep contributing their 10% of their income for this? A rather classical shell strategy, which probably wouldn't even qualify as illegal in a private corporation, but when you have a church, you have non-profit status, and you have more disclosure obligations. So that's probably here what's happening. They end up paying $4 million, which is a drop in the ocean. I mean, at $32 billion that they had in 2018, $32 billion, you pay $4 million, that's nothing. So I guess that they're very happy that they got this resolved. And sometimes also companies want to hide this information so much that they don't care paying the fine later. Because while they can shuffle the money the way they want, the way that's advantageous to them, all they want to make sure is that enough time elapses. And then once enough time has elapsed, they don't care about the small fee that they have to pay for failing to file the forms. Freddie says, my favorite part of The Selfish Gene is the epilogue, wherein Dawkins calls for a theory to patch the hole when it comes to small-scale and big-scale evolution. See, in Unit of Selection, page 14, I see this as the first doubt and subsequent glimpse of TRP. Go read both, folks. Okay, I don't exactly remember this part, but I remember that Dawkins is in The Selfish Gene. He's very much unwilling to side with nature. He's like, this is how nature works, but we should make society different. And that's always a delusion. It's always a delusion to think that you can take a life form that is reproducing and escape evolution in any way, or counter it in any way. It's fallacious when Richard Dawkins wants to do it. It's fallacious when Brett Weinstein, I've been told that his name is Brett Weinstein by you guys. So, yeah. No, they're wrong. Whenever you try to fight against it, it fights even harder, and it wins. That is the very demonstration of The Selfish Gene. Talking about Brett Weinstein, I think we may be headed toward a complete absence of response from Brett Weinstein to my video about his use of data without quotation. That is quite stunning to me. I didn't know we would get that outcome, but it seems that he's not being reactive publicly. I haven't watched the full podcast that he did Saturday, but I haven't heard or seen any sign that he has answered my concerns. And so we may be headed toward Brett just abandoning, just not wanting to play, just not wanting to answer a question that ultimately can only be to his detriment, I guess. Because there's no explanation out of it. You would have to acknowledge, and that would be so easy to do, acknowledge that you've accidentally used a tweet, data from a tweet, plagiarized it accidentally, and say, I now realize that I did, but I didn't know when I did it. So I thought that it was from Chris Martinson I got this data, but I now realize I didn't. That is so easy. But the fact that he doesn't even want to do this, I mean, apparently, maybe he's going to come out in a week and 2 weeks and give an answer, but presupposing that he's not going to give an answer ever to my concerns, I lose enormous amounts of respect for this man. I cannot believe that an intellectual with some sense of self-respect would let it be said out there that he's an intentional plagiarist and not even do the minimum amount of work to give proper attribution. Holy shit. I didn't know it was possible to reach that point. But it seems that pure stubbornness is guiding Brett here. Because Brett doesn't want to have been caught by me. I think that's what's happening. That is so sad for him. Because it's gonna stay out there. It could be a running gag eventually. I mean, the fact that he has not... Yeah, Go Away is already making a running gag out of it. He said, JF, he is not intentionally not commenting on the plagiarism claim, for fuck's sake. Relax. I mean, it's the second time that we have this kind of cowardice, kind of, I'm not engaging, but it's not intentional that I'm not engaging. But at this point, there's someone accusing you of intentional plagiarism. And you're there saying, oh, I'm going to ignore it as... If I ignore it long enough, it will go away. It's like, I'm going to be alive for a long time. I'm going to be reminding that tweet for a long time, every year. I can't believe he wants this. And I can't believe he just doesn't have the honesty to come out and say, oh yeah, here's my clarification. It's this. JF got it wrong on this, but he got it right on this. So easy. And ultimately, no matter how much of an asshole he may think I am, ultimately he's denying proper attribution not to me. He's denying proper attribution to a gentleman biostatistics guy called Sherlock Genomes on Twitter. That's the saddest thing, is that whatever Brett has after me, or after my crowd, calling you guys Nazis, you know, whatever that is, it's certainly not just for Sherlock Genomes to be paying the price of it through not receiving proper attribution. And that was what I had in mind when I started this whole thing. I was like, you won't be punishing a third party for me being a fucking autistic asshole. I can't imagine Brett doing this. But yeah, he's willing to do it. He's willing to say, I don't give a shit about proper attribution. And I don't give a shit because I don't like this guy, JF, or his crowd, or his Nazi, or the Nazi subsection of his crowd. I don't care hurting that other person out there, who has nothing to do with them. It's not like I knew Sherlock Genomes or he's a personal friend. I had no idea who this guy was before I spoke to him a couple of days ago when I released the video, a week ago now. End of the line, Joel says, Dawkins claims that he is all about the science and truth, but in actuality he is a virtue signaler who does not confront head-on scientific questions around, for example, differences in societal groups. Absolutely. They choose which truths they want to engage on. And as such, they are already shaping what the truth is based on non-empirical, non-scientific considerations, but moral ones. Some random bloke says, JF, look at the heaps of leftist intellectuals. They openly say they aren't concerned with the truth. The morals of the left is the ends justify the means. That is so sad, but it is the case. Doubting Thomas says, JF, I would like to provide a falsification test of your claim of the uniqueness of minority groups in the West combating the white population in an asymmetric way. It's possible this is only due to these minorities having disproportionate power compared to their size. This is not the case in most non-Western countries with minorities, As a test, someone should study how the majority population is treated in South America, where I suspect there are also sizable minority populations. Well, I didn't mention South America in my example when I said that Europe, you know, that European nations are the only one that are so self-denying that they can't have a political voice even defending their demographics. It is true that South America is kind of the edge of my statement, but it's also at the edge of having a clear demographics basis, you know, because you may see South America as an extremely demographically homogeneous place if you look at it like from a broad demographics perspective. But when you get into the details, you realize there are massive tribal distinctions, and you know that there are countries where you have a 20% of the population that are natives and they really live differently from the rest of the country. Even if you were from a white American perspective, you might look at all of them and say, oh, those are Hispanics. I think there is massive amounts of diversity there. It's hard to place it well, though, in my framework, because my framework was about self-abdication and the willingness of white nations to be self-abnegating. I don't know where we would place Brazil in this or Argentina in this, because I don't know enough of the politics and I don't know what form it could take. Tucker Carlson announces that his show has been granted access to 44K hours of footage from January 6.
So for really more than 2 years now, we've been complaining about, and we think it's justified, the fact that the U.S. Congress has held thousands, tens of thousands of hours of closed-circuit camera footage from the public. They have not released any of it. From January 6th. And January 6th, of course, is a transformative event in this country. It's been used to change the country. So there are about 44,000 hours. And we have, you may have read this today, been granted access to that. And we believe that access is unfettered. We believe we have secured the right to see whatever we want to see. So we've been there about a week. Our producers, some of our smartest producers, have been there. Looking at this stuff and trying to figure out what it means and how it contradicts or not the story that we've been told for more than 2 years. We think already that in some ways it does contradict that story. And so we're going to spend the rest of this week taking a look at it, assessing it as honestly as we can, and we're going to bring you what we find next week.
All right, so it's going to be next week that we start hearing about what was in those hours of footage. That will be interesting, although I'm not fascinated by the subject. It will be interesting. Go away, says Jeff. It will literally take Tucker over 14 years to watch this footage if he watches 8 hours a day every day. So don't expect anything anytime soon. Well, normally when you have that much footage, you have a lot of stuff you can easily fast forward through and to get to a point that's interesting. Normally, if you have that much footage, you will be able to figure this out, and there may be 3 hours that you can skip over 1 second, because you can fast forward and see that no one passes in front of the camera within those 3 hours. So no, not the case that it will take that long. On top of it, you can have multiple staff members isolating the interesting timestamps. Some random bloke says American Renaissance had a good article on Argentina, early 1900s. It was mostly white, was very advanced. What changed? Open borders from other South American countries. Demographics equals destiny. Interesting. And I think they eventually had massive problems with inflation. The war on Musk. Washington Post. The war on Musk, Washington Post slammed over Twitter hit piece. Last week, there was another bombshell story by the Washington Post on the purported evil that is Elon Musk, quickly amplified by MSNBC and other media. It was another hit job on Musk and could be viewed as what many in the media love to call disinformation. Musk himself noted that the premise of the piece, that his tweets were artificially boosted during a recent period, was demonstrably false, yet countervailing facts found little space in the long post piece. None of that is particularly surprising. Musk became a hunted man when he sought to restore free speech protections to social media. I'm pretty proud at what Musk has been accomplishing. We keep getting new people from our amnesty list liberated almost every day. So it's he's delivering. He's delivering, and personally, I'm very proud. He seems to have been handling the heat pretty well, laughing about these hit pieces. And when you laugh about it, they don't have power over you. That's why I laugh about most accusations. Most accusations, if you can laugh them off, they will slide off your back. And if they are not grounded in fact, they will not be arguments that resist the test of time. And Elon Musk seems to be understanding this somewhat. Meanwhile, yesterday we were covering the leave of James O'Keefe from Project Veritas. Well, guess what? The Project Veritas Twitter account is in crumbles. Look at it. They are losing 105,000 on yesterday, and they are continuing to lose. They used to gain an audience, but when there was uncertainty around James O'Keefe and the hashtag James O'Keefe is Project Veritas had started, you already had a small drop of their account numbers, but now it's getting bigger and bigger. And personally, I have also unfollowed the account of Project Veritas. I think it's going to be a shameful institution going forward, just trying to drain the amount of cash that they had stacked, but they're not going to get much more donation. In fact, you might very well have lawsuits being started by donors who would want their money back. I mean, it's going to be hard to get it back, because when you make a donation, it's a donation. And in fact, it would be illegal to give a donation while expecting something, you know? But you can still make the case that you have been deceived, in the process of knowing about the current state of the company you were donating to. So if you can make that argument, if you can make the argument that you're not trying to bribe the board member to do something with your money, you're just having an expectation of a reasonable handling of that money, and now you've lost that expectation because you were deceived, that can pass as an argument in court. And there may be certain donors who try to get their money back, probably with not much success, but at least to put Project Veritas in further trouble. Some random bloke says, can you laugh when they cancel your bank account like they did to Mark Collett? Well, of course, these things hurt. So, but yeah, you do have to have an attitude of, all right, I'm going to take whatever is thrown my way, and I'm not going to let it change my emotional state, you know? So you do have to laugh. That doesn't mean to take seriously the discriminatory thing that it is to be definancialized for your beliefs or for your race. There's a serious part of it, but that doesn't mean you can't laugh at it at the end and say, all right, I'm going to be unbacked by. You know, yesterday we had our private hangout for the people who want to watch it. It's still up, of course, all month, and sometimes it's up for many months in the future. So subscribe to the Subscribe Star or the Backed By at the $20 level. Amazingly, yesterday we had DK Shadow was there, and he is our first donor at the $20 level on Backed By. Backed By is fully decentralized, so it's a very exciting platform, because it's like a Patreon alternative. But with Backed By, I post my post with the link, the secret link, I post it on the blockchain. and you have to be subscribed with the blockchain on my backed by, and that gives you full decentralized access to the link. So DK Shadow is the first person who gave me the honor of receiving first this donation of $20 and also testing this whole system, because I click on posting on this and it cost me actually 2 cents to make a post on BackBuy, which is totally fine. 2 cents is comparable to Patreon, like 5% fees, and Subscribestar 5-10%, I don't know, depending if you include the withdrawal fees and everything. It's not a problem at all to be paying the 2 cents. When you pay the 2 cents, it says that it uploads to the IPFS, a kind of file system of the blockchain. So my post on BackBuy that led DK Shadow to see the private show is fully decentralized. No one could censor it. It's on the Polygon blockchain through the IPFS system. That I find absolutely amazing. Bill Gates' daughter, Jennifer, moves into sprawling $51 million, 8,900 square feet, NYC mansion. Let's see what it looks like. Oh yeah, it's this one. The building itself has 53 units and includes amenities like a pool, gym, sauna, steam room, playroom and roof deck. The list of celebrities that have lived in the building include the likes of Ryan Reynolds, Jennifer Lawrence, Justin Timberlake, and Harry Styles. Wow, Bill Gates, the vaccine has been paying a lot, and he can afford some good stuff for his daughter. And as a last news item, DK Shadow says it's the interplanetary file system. Yeah, okay, that's what IPFS means. Wow, I didn't know. But it's kind of grandiose when you think about it. Interplanetary file system. Doubting Thomas says, JF, when your computer upgrades are complete, can we get behind-the-scene pics of the new studio setup? I can clean it up and make it, photographable. But to be honest, it's the same picture you would get, except just the computer itself. The computer box is different, but all of the same is from my last picture. Silver Spider has sent a super chat. Did I miss it? Let's get back to it right here. Micronova has sent a super chat. Let me take a break. I'll be back in 5 seconds. All right, let's go through the super chats that I've missed. Micronova was saying, fun fact, a mission the Mormons have is to find the Merovingians, descendants of the children that came after Jesus Christ from Mary, sharing the holy womb. So the Mormons collect ancestry data to find the Merovingians. Isn't there a guy in the Matrix named the Merovingian, the French guy in the Matrix movies? Isn't that his name? Wow, it's amazing. I didn't know this about the Mormons. I'm happy to hear about this. I don't think it's a very productive endeavor, but I'm happy if that excites them. Men's penises have grown rapidly in length in the past 30 years, according to a new study that concerns experts. Researchers from Stanford University found that the average erect penis has increased from 4.8 inches erect to 6 inches over the past 30 years. Why are they concerned? They fear longer penises could be linked to male infertility in the West. Perhaps we have overshot. perhaps we have overshot the size. We have reached a point where the size doesn't help anymore. Okay, interesting concern. Silver Spider has sent a super chat. He says, "Hey, Jeff, how could someone as smart as Richard Dawkins commit such fallacy about how the world should be, but then so strongly against religion? But then feel so strongly against religion. Would you call this cognitive dissonance? If Dawkins can defy evolution, why should Christians be for evolution instead of God?" Ah, that is very very interesting. It's an interesting statement about Dawkins. Like, if you think you're so strong that your liberal mindset can undermine evolution, why can't you empathize with the Christian who believes that is God? I'm not saying all Christians here, but at least the, you know, young earth creationist Christian who believes that is God and his Bible is undermining evolution. That is quite interesting. And it touches upon something that Stéphane Moliner has been saying often, that the atheist liberal is adopting a religion of their own, with its own axioms, with its own presuppositions. And that is beautiful. Yes, I guess it's a nice call-out of Dawkins. Now, you ask me, what is happening in the mind of Dawkins? How can he be so intelligent and yet be like this? It's probably an effect of our systems. You know, our systems are selecting people who have been cared for by the state forever and by the system of universities, institutional universities, and a lot of people who end up in this system, it's not even cognitive dissonance. They are truly convinced that this is the most beautiful system ever, but they've been selected by it and they've been well served by it. So it's very easy when you're in those positions of privilege, where you got a salary forever, you didn't have to be particularly good, you could be kind of average at time, and I'm not saying that that's the case with Dawkins, but in general, the people working in universities, they can end up having some degree of laziness, and they won't be selected out of the system, depending on how offensive it is to their bureaucracy. So it's very easy to be rewarded so much within that system that you end up adoring it, and to the point where you're willing to twist all cognitive gymnastics possible to come out in support of it. I mean, I remember when I was a researcher and I was doing science education of kids and of the general public, I was totally convinced that there's no way the free market could have led to this. We had to have the state fund lots of science because science is amazing. I remember thinking like this. So I can understand that it's not even cognitive dissonance. It's almost a dogmatic belief. It's something that you can truly believe in. It doesn't enter in conflict with anything, because you really, it's more a foundational dogma of yours. So when Dawkins comes and, you know, with his liberalism, I believe that it's probably a product of selection and pressure. We have selected people first in the path to academia that would only think that way because they would have been brainwashed by people who thought that way first. And on top of it, we've only attracted the, you know, state-philic people who were supportive of the state even if they didn't know it. And that gets you a lot of liberals in academia. And then on top of it, you can have some degree of pressure to the extent that, for example, you know, there were people threatening at some point a couple of years ago, threatening an organization that was inviting Richard Dawkins as a speaker, saying that he was too controversial, and I don't know, they were kind of saying he's not enough liberal. And Richard Dawkins shared being heartbroken by this pressure. He shared being heartbroken by, and he said, "I hate it when this kind of pressure comes from my own side of politics." So even being canceled by the left, Richard Dawkins was insisting, "Hey, I'm a leftist too. And I hate it when the leftists cancel me because I'm a leftist too." So you cannot exclude that there is some sort of in-group pressure here to conformism onto Dawkins. That perhaps a wild Dawkins, not feeling that pressure, would have gone a different way. Would have gone a different way, especially in the light of the knowledge in the selfish gene. Rodi Lacid says, "This is what Neil deGrasse Tyson used to say. NASA was necessary to get to the moon because there could never be a company to do it. Then SpaceX came along and is now more lean, less bloat than NASA." Absolutely, and that's a beautiful thing. Rack Reacher, I had answered this question about electric vehicles. Dead Star, I got your super chat, all right. And that is it for tonight, so I've answered all of your questions. Some random bloke was saying, "Richard Dawkins said the unforgivable thing, men are men and women are women." Yes, and Richard probably comes at it from a very classical feminist perspective, because he's always been insisting on integrating women to the project of atheism, like I covered recently, Jacqueline Glenn, you know, with my video, "The Great Internet Events of the 21st Century, Jacqueline Glenn Plagiarism Scandal." That was Dawkins trying to introduce a woman to the field. Dawkins also writing the opening words for the meme machine of Susan Blackmore. That was him trying to extend a hand to a female into STEM, a female with blue hair, you know, Susan Blackmore, and extending this while disagreeing with her. Because in his opening words, he's like, "Oh, you know, I'm not so sure about her stuff, but she's there and she's a woman, and so I wrote this opening word to her book." So yes, for classical feminists like this, it's going to be very hard to get rid of the idea that women exist. Like biological woman, I mean, it's going to be very hard for them to get there, because they were all set on let's elevate woman, let's elevate biological woman, and suddenly the left veers and says, "Well, no, biological woman is not a thing. Anyone can be a woman, really. Anyone can be a man." That doesn't work. Speaker's Corner says, "Okay, so we're all off to go and measure. Good luck, gentlemen." Okay, talking about the measure of penises. Last news item. China has nukes. Pakistan has nukes. North Korea has nukes. We might as well surrender our role in the world now. Mike Lee was saying, "Russia has nukes. We're playing with fire." Commenting on the visit of President Biden in Ukraine. Yes, we have heard yesterday that Russia was making a whole check on its nuclear forces, putting its nuclear forces in the state of combat readiness. They've been doing that many times, and it doesn't necessarily lead to a strike. But people are highly scared these days, and they are on high alert that Russia could be trying to seek vengeance, perhaps. Some people have been speculating about possible acts of vandalism on the energy infrastructure of the UK. Perhaps, but for now, Russia has been surprisingly self-disciplined and actually less dirty than Western powers in this whole war. Because Western powers have gone to bomb the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. I haven't seen an equivalent move by Russia. Russia is engaging with a focused war against Ukraine, not trying to play the big international geopolitics of it. And yet, the Western powers have been disgraceful and using Ukraine as a proxy and making these attack in the nights on unrelated energy infrastructure like Nord Stream 2. Anyways, that is it for tonight, boys. We have a debate scheduled against American Black. This guy is kind of annoying because he's been on his Twitter account for days saying, I'm going to debate a white supremacist. Ah, I'm going to show him that he's wrong on all of his stuff. It's like, this guy doesn't even appear to know what I believe in. And he's just deciding that I'm a white supremacist. He's a black guy on Twitter. We had met him, you know, in a Twitter space where he came to debate me. And I'm not super fascinated, but it's going to be on the Crucible. And I said, look, given this behavior of him, of his, I said to Andrew, maybe you want to do a Odyssey exclusive for this. Maybe we don't want this on YouTube. Because I explained to Andrew that, look, I will always be YouTube safe. I know how to be YouTube safe in making my arguments. But this guy clearly is unhinged. And he's going to come at me and try to provoke me into saying white supremacist thing. And you know, it might just be tempting. It might just be tempting after all of his false accusations against me. It may just slip out of my mouth, you know? Like, yeah! So what? Just in case we have a moment like this, I have said to Andrew that it would be preferable to be hosting the show as a Odyssey exclusive. So it will be an Odyssey exclusive on Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And it's been a while since I haven't seen Andrew. It will be nice. Micronova sends a super chat. He says, you deserve a medal for putting up with American Black's ignorant antics. Yeah, I mean, he's an annoying guy. He's like assuming everything. He's like, oh, what do you believe? Huh? You believe this, I guess? You know, you could know what I believe in a much shorter amount of time if you were just to ask. That is it for tonight, boys. See you all tomorrow. Thank you.